John chapter 2, verses 23, 24, and 25 tell us of Jesus being in Jerusalem. And this is his first visit to the city of Jerusalem after his baptism. We know that as a youth he has come to Jerusalem, and how many other times we do not know. But after Jesus has entered his public ministry, this is an account of his first visit at Jerusalem. Verse 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. As I said, Jesus went to Jerusalem as a Jew. He went to observe the Passover. And as he entered into the temple, he saw the money changers, and Jesus drove them from the temple. While he was in Jerusalem, Jesus did many miracles. The word that's translated miracles means signs or a signal. That is, Jesus did many things that were signs of his being the Son of God, the Christ, the promised one. There were also things that he did that signaled to the true heart of a Jewish person that their deliverer had come, that the anointed one was there. And so every time Jesus did a miracle, it was a signal, it was a sign of who he was and that he was telling the truth about who he was. And the Bible tells us that many believed in his name. You would expect that to be true, that many people would believe seeing the miracles that Jesus did. But the Bible tells us in verse 24 that Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Now, as you look at that word commit in verse 24, and you look at the word believed in verse 23, many believed in his name, they are exactly the same word in the Greek text. That is, many believed in his name, but in verse 24, Jesus did not believe in them. They believed in Jesus, but Jesus did not believe in them. They looked at what he did and believed in what he did, but Jesus did not believe in them. Why didn't Jesus believe in them? The Bible tells us, because he knew what was in man. But I thought Jesus believed in people. Have you heard someone say, my friend, believe in Jesus because Jesus believes in you? Well, that wasn't true in this case. It may be true in your case, but it was not true in this case. They believed in Jesus, but Jesus would not believe in them. You might translate it the same way by saying that they trusted Jesus, but Jesus didn't trust them. That they committed to Jesus, but Jesus did not commit to them. There were people who believed in Jesus because of their spiritual understanding and because of their spiritual convictions. For instance, Mary believed in Jesus in the sense of accepting God's announcement that she would be the mother of the Messiah.
And Mary said, let it be so. She accepted that responsibility. Joseph believed, not because of what he had seen, but by what he had heard. John the Baptist believed and then announced that Jesus was the Lamb of God when he heard the voice from heaven and saw the dove descending, and he realized, according to what God had told him to look for, you'll see this sign. And John saw the sign and he believed in Jesus Christ. There was Simeon, who at the circumcision of Jesus held him and said that he believed that this infant was Israel's hope. Anna, who was a prophetess, held the baby and adored him as the promised one of Jesus Christ. The centurion, when he said, you don't need to go to my home, all you need to do is just speak and my child will be made whole. And Jesus said, this is faith. This is great faith. And then there was the Syrophoenician woman who wanted her daughter raised, or who wanted her healing. And Jesus said, we don't allow the Gentiles to participate in the blessings of God's people. And she said, I understand that, but at least some crumbs can fall from the Jewish table so that the Gentile people may eat. And Jesus said, you've got a great spiritual insight. And your faith is tremendous. And let God bless you according to the way you have expressed your belief in Him. But there have been some, like these people that are mentioned here, who believe because of what Jesus did and not because of His character and not because of who He was. They believed in Jesus as a benefactor. They believed in Jesus like one might believe in a rich uncle. They believed in Jesus like one might believe in an indulgent father. They believed in Jesus like some might believe in the federal government as a benefactor to give me or bestow upon me the things that I want and have decided that I need. There were those in the New Testament who followed Jesus for the food that He supplied in the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. They believed that Jesus could turn a few fish into a large, abundant amount of fish. There were people who believed that Jesus could take loaves and multiply them into hundreds of loaves. They believed in what He could do. They believed in what He did. Their belief was not in Him as a person whom they could love, but they believed in Him as a supplier of things, as a fixer of broken things. They did not care for Him as the Savior of the world. They did care for Him as the supplier of things. Are you beginning to see some difference here? People who want to follow Jesus for what He can do rather than follow Jesus for who He is. And Jesus realized that when people follow Him for what He can do, as soon as He quits doing, they quit following. And so Jesus, as our King James Version of the Bible states, would not commit Himself to them. You know, Jesus didn't want to commit His life and His ministry and His well-being and the truth even to people who were following Him for no other reason than to get. Christianity is truth. And these people were not particularly concerned with the truth. They were concerned with miracles. And there are people like that today. They don't care about truth. It doesn't excite their heart. It doesn't thrill their soul. It doesn't interest their minds. But if they could see some so-called healing, they'd walk 1,000 miles. I wouldn't walk across the road. To hear and see what some call miracles. But I'd swim a river to hear the truth of God. People are looking at Jesus as though he were a milk cow or the goose that lays golden eggs. They don't care about the goose, they care about the golden egg. And they don't care about the cow. They care about the bucket of milk. And there are people today who don't care about Jesus, but they care about getting what Jesus has promised. And there's a big difference. Jesus said, I'm not going to trust people who believe in the miracles I do, but they don't believe in me. Now, there are other circumstances and instances that illustrate this. In Acts chapter 8, there is a man by the name of Simon, and his name has given us the idea of simony, which is trying to buy the things of God so we can resell it at a profit. Acts chapter 8 tells us about him, and in fact, the same word is used as it describes Simon. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 25 give the entire story. But let's look at verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also. You see that? Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondering. Now notice. Beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Why was Simon attracted to the ministry of Philip in the beginning? Because they saw the power of God in Simon, in Philip. Now, Simon says, I want to believe, and Simon was baptized and he followed Philip because of the signals and the signs that were committed. Now, verse 18 tells us, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now look, here is a believer. Here is a believer that has been baptized. And here is a believer who wants to give some money to one of the representatives of the churches because he wants the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, this all seems real good. Maybe Simon didn't let him sleep in his house for a few bucks. But anyway, you know, you understand where I'm going. But he believed, he was baptized, he wanted the power of God. It really sounds good, doesn't it? But why did he want the power of God? He wanted to use it to enrich himself and to make a name for himself. Sounds like any of the so-called charismatics that we know today, who've got the big rings and the big watches and expensive clothes and the... Why are they doing what they do? Why, Brother Penn, they believe. What do they believe? They believe that God is a source of fame and money and power. And that's what they want from God, because that's what glorifies them in the eyes of people. That's what Simon wanted. Simon would have made a perfect TV evangelist in our age. He was perfect for it. He would have had 1,000 television stations. He had had thousands of radio programs. People would have sent him millions of dollars, while people who preached the truth of God starved to death. That's one of the great tragedies in American faith. Most of the believers in America are like Simon, and they're like these believers at Jerusalem. We must believe in Jesus and not in what he did. Road signs get us to a city, but road signs are not a city. Do you believe that a road sign is a city? It isn't. A city is a city, and road signs show us how to get to the city, and you can't go around saying that road signs are cities. And miracles aren't Jesus. Divine things that happen aren't God. They're only signs of God. And the devil can imitate signs of God. And we are to try the spirits to see if they be of God. Now, Jesus did not believe in them. He did not commit himself to them. He would not give them his confidence. Why? Because he knew all men. The word "knew" here is a word that means to observe, to obtain a knowledge or an insight into. So the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ had an insight into mankind. He understood all men. And he needed not that any should testify of man. This word "testify" means to be a witness, to affirm, or to confirm what he already has stated. In other words, Jesus knew what a mankind was like. He knew men. He didn't need someone to say, "Now, Jesus, I know that you believe that men are of a certain character, and so I just want you to know that you're right." He didn't need a witness. He didn't need someone to testify about the character of mankind. He didn't need to anyone to tell him what's on the inside of a man, what's on the inside of a woman. He didn't need anyone to explain human nature and human character. He didn't need anybody to assess it and then inform him. He already knew. And the reason he knew is because he made us. The Bible tells us, "For he knew what was in man." And the word "man" here literally means mankind. He knows what is in man. What did Jesus see? What did he know is in a man? Well, you're not going to like what the Bible tells us is in man. You're going to say, "Men are so good. God says men are so wicked." Our psychiatrists and psychologists, our clinical counselors, all of these people are talking about self-esteem. They're talking about we've got to raise people's self-esteem. Because unless their self-esteem is raised, then we're going to have all kinds of psychological problems that are going to lead to problems of social behavior. And if we can just get the kids in school and get their self-esteem elevated, then they will obey their parents, they'll obey authority, and things will work out. But as long as there's low self-esteem, we're going to be in a serious problem with crime and dope and things of this nature. We're going to have alcoholics and drug addicts until we can raise the self-esteem of our children. And so when little Johnny says that 3 and 3 is 2, we brag on him. He could have said 10, you know what I mean? And so we don't want to just immediately tell him that's wrong. When he turns the cereal bowl over his head, we don't want to get on to him because he's probably learning how to wear a hat. You need to affirm that which is positive and find no negative, because we have got to convince people how wonderful they really are. And when you convince bad people that they are wonderful people, and people who are wrong that they are right, you never have a need for a Savior. And people tell me, Brother Penn, the reason there's so much anger and there's so many problems on our side is because of guilt. We have got to stop laying guilt on people. We have to quit getting people to feel guilty. My friend, the thing we need more than anything is to get back to the old-fashioned guilt. We need guilt. You know why? Because we're guilty. Now, in the book of Romans, when talking about the sin nature, you know what Paul wrote? Now, here's what's in a man. You say, well, what did Jesus see in these believers? Here's what's in a man. Verse 13 of chapter 3. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what's the things ever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You see, that's what them sinners are like. No, that's what you're like. You say, that's what them wicked people. No, that's what you're like inside. Romans 1:29, just flip back a little bit. You want to look at what we are without God? Verse 29 of chapter 1, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That's what you are as a natural human being. That's what you can be without anybody teaching you. That's what you can be without anybody training you. That's what you are by nature. Paul tells you what the flesh is in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. What are the works of the flesh? You say, oh, that's sin. That's lost people's flesh. No, it's our flesh. It's flesh. Whether it's saved flesh or lost flesh, doesn't make any difference. This is what your flesh is capable of doing. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's what the flesh is. And that's why Jesus looked at the flesh and looked at the kind of belief these people had. That is, they believed he could do miracles, and they followed him so he would do miracles because they wanted the miracles. They would have followed Simon if Simon had the power to do miracles. They would follow the devil if the devil had power to do miracles. And in the last age, and the age that we're living in now, the devil does have power to work miracles, and he works them in churches all the time.
The devil is the greatest miracle worker in our world today. Why? To get people to believe. But not to believe in Christ, but to believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. All right, you'll die and go to hell. Believing in miracles won't save you. You can say, I believe Jesus did miracles, but that won't save you. You can say, I believe that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God. That won't save you. You can't be saved by believing in what Jesus did in way of miracles and birth. You have to believe in Him and that you trust Him and care for Him for who He is if He never worked a miracle. Now, with this kind of circumstance laid out, quote, who can you trust? You know, if Jesus didn't trust these people, who can you trust? It's a good question. Now, some of you are sitting out there and you're thinking, preacher, the longer I live, the fewer I trust. Who can you trust? Now, you listen to me this morning. We cannot trust anyone. Now listen to me. We cannot trust anyone. Now listen. We cannot trust anyone to be perfect. You say, I trust my daddy. He's perfect. No, your daddy isn't perfect. Good man. Wonderful man. But he's not perfect. Your mother isn't perfect. And isn't that where we really get hurt? Is the preacher did something wrong. I could have told you that a long time ago. I said, well, I went to church for 2 or 3 years and then Brother Penn did something wrong. I'm out of there. What? Are you gonna trust me to never make a mistake? You're crazy. You gonna trust me never to make a bad judgment? You gonna say, I will follow Brother Penn's leadership until I know he makes a mistake. Then I'm out of there, boy. I don't follow people like that. I'll work with Richard until he makes a mistake, and then, brother, I'm out of choir. Our pianists and organists can play until they make a mistake, then I'm not coming anymore. I'll listen to Darrell teach until he does make a mistake and I learn about something he did that wasn't perfect. I'm gone. I want to ask you this. Where are you going? Where are you going? Well, I'll go to Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. Go to Catholics? Mm-hmm. Join the Methodists? Mm-hmm. Where are you going? Find somebody that don't make a mistake. You're not going to find anybody in this world that doesn't make a mistake, that don't sin. And I don't think we'll ever find a president that don't do wrong. We might find one that don't do as much, but y'all knew I'd been renting the kitchen out here for I don't rent the kitchen while y'all aren't looking to make a few extra bucks, but listen, here's some guidelines. I'll tell you what you can do. You need to trust someone that's got a good conscience. If you know a person has a bad conscience, you can't trust that person. You need to trust somebody that's been born again. You say, well, don't born again people make a mistake? Yeah, but they don't make as many. And it's not as easy for them, and they don't get over it as quick. It's like a conscience. Man with a good conscience may do you wrong, but he may come and do you right after that. Okay. But a man with a bad conscience doesn't care how much wrong he does or who he hurts. He'll never make it right.
And a man with a good conscience, a woman with a good conscience and a good heart, who's been born again, who's in the true church, who's got scriptural baptism, who loves God's word, they won't make as many, and when they do, they're probably going to make it right. And other people just go on because they don't care. We can trust God. That's who you can trust. Without any reservation. We can trust Him to save us by His grace. We can trust Him to keep us in His grace and continue us in His grace. God may disappoint us. God may not give us our expectations, but that doesn't mean that God is wrong and that we are right. It just means that God is wiser. You can trust God now and forever. You can trust God with everything. These believers believed in what He did and not who He was. They believed in His works and not in Him. And Jesus would not believe in them. He knew that when people believe in what He does, instead of believing in Him, that when He stops doing for them, they'll quit believing in Him. Look, when Jesus was arrested, did any of His believers quit following Him? How many of them went to the cross? What did Peter do? All the rest of them. What did Thomas say? Jesus knew that if people followed Him for no other reason than the miracles He did when He hung on the cross, they wouldn't be there. They'd just all go back home and forget the whole issue. There are a lot of people that believe in God as the great supplier of all things. But when He becomes the God of all suffering, they don't have anything to do with God. They don't want the God of pain. They want the God of plenty. And God isn't always a God of plenty. He is sometimes a God of pain. And not for His benefit, because He doesn't need to learn anything, but we do. Don't trust people because of what they do for you. One of the biggest mistakes we do is when people do things for us, we immediately believe they're good people and commit ourselves to them. Don't trust people because of what they do for you. They may be setting you up for a fall. Trust people for who they are and not for what they do. Why? Because all good people that you can trust aren't always healthy. Good people that you can trust aren't always young, in spite of what Abby Hoffman said. And he was a radical hippie who said you can't trust anybody over 30. He lived to be 50 and regretted he'd said it because he asked people to trust him. All the people that you need to trust aren't rich and can't give you money and can't buy things for you. So don't place your trust only in those people who do things for you. And that's in the area of religion. Because the very people you need to trust may not have anything that they can give you except the truth and love of God. What did Jesus really want? What did Jesus really want? He wanted people who would love Him, pay attention to what He said. What does He want now? He wants people that He can commit Himself to.
that he can commit things to. The treasures of God. And in the parable of the steward, Jesus said, if you can't, if God can't trust you with the things of this world, how will he commit to you the riches of heaven? It is a wonderful thing to be trustworthy. And God expects us to be trustworthy. But don't get that confused with perfection. Because you're going to be the worst, unhappy, miserable cynic that ever walked on God's earth. And you're never going to have a friend if you can't make up with your friends when your friends do you wrong. You won't ever have any friends. And if you go to a church and you get, quote, done wrong, and you can't ever get over that, you're never going to be happy. Because, you know, everybody's got to always be right. And they aren't.